Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
John Kachuba back with us now, author, paranormal investigator. He is a certified ghost hunter. He has investigated a number of haunted locations. He is a frequent guest on radio, television, and a noted speaker at paranormal conferences. He has also written books unrelated to the paranormal, but teaches creative writing at Ohio University. He lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, one of America's most haunted towns. A couple of his books include Ghost Hunters and then Shapeshifters. John, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks, George. It's good to be back.
How did John Kachuba get involved in all of this?
Well, John Kachuba grew up in an area that was steeped very much in a lot of this ghostly paranormal lore. You know, I grew up in New England, and I couldn't help but walk past some old cemetery almost any town that I lived in, and I just really got involved with the stories and the folklore and all that, and started thinking, I wonder if there's more to it, and just started investigating, and pretty much all my life, although not really writing about it until maybe the last couple decades. Wow, a couple of decades. So that's a long time.
It sure is. It goes by fast, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, you wrote an incredible book called Shapeshifters, A History. What exactly is a shapeshifter?
Well, the simple definition is, it's a person that is able to transform himself into usually an animal, but it could be another person. It could be even an inanimate object. So that's kind of the general definition, and we find these characters way back in ancient literature. We find them back in cave paintings, and we're talking about them today in terms of real-life encounters from some people.
Would this be a shapeshifter? I knew a person whose personality would just change at a whim and become a totally different person.
Yeah, well, I think we all know people like that, and when I talk about shapeshifters, I frequently classify them into two different ways. I talk about a voluntary shapeshifter and an involuntary. And what I mean by that is, a voluntary shapeshifter is the typical person, a shaman, a wizard, some of the ancient gods, like the Greek gods, like Zeus, who have some innate power to say, hey, I'm going to just be something different right now. And they can do it. Involuntary ones are those that, are frequently under a curse. Like, think of some of the fairy tales, like Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The prince, it's always a handsome prince.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of thing. And I think what happens is I think there are people that sort of the involuntary ones are more or less internal. There's internal and external too. I talk about that as well. And these are people who internal shapeshifters are those that don't ever manifest physically into something different. You know, so they don't suddenly grow fangs and hair and howl at the moon at night like a werewolf. Yet there's something inside them that has this sort of, I don't want to say split personality, because that's a very...
almost bipolarish, right?
Yeah, yeah. And certainly those, you know, some of those folks do act out that way. But I'm talking about something a little bit different that we don't really know what it is, but there's an internal personality that does not match that exterior. And yeah, I think we all know some people like that. And for the most part, I think they're harmless. But every so often you get somebody like a Ted Bundy. You know what? I mean, everybody talks about Ted Bundy being this clean-cut, sort of collegiate kind of guy who would help you change a tire, help you bring your groceries into the house,
and then became a demon.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, there's that kind of thing going on.
Are shapeshifters dangerous to themselves as well?
That's a good question. You know, I really don't know. I think they can be. I think in some of the cases that we hear about from like the 16th, 17th century of lycanthropy, for instance, where people believe that they were turned into wolves. You know, you look at them physically and they weren't. However, they would act out. So they'd be scratching and tearing and growling and, you know, sometimes do harm to themselves as well as other people. So I guess there is that component, or could be that component.
It's fascinating. Now, when you were doing your book, Shapeshifters, A History, how did you begin to start the research for this? Well, I mean, you don't go door to door going, do you have a shapeshifter who lives there?
Well, you know, that you could try that. I'm not sure how far you'd get, you know. People hear my dog barking in the backyard, and they think he must have a werewolf there.
Exactly.
So it's possible. No, I think what I did, first of all, is I did a lot of reading, and I did a lot of reading into some very old books. For instance, one that I really found fascinating was called A Treatise on the Apparitions of Spirits and on Vampires or Revenants. And this was written by a Benedictine monk named Augustin Calmet in 1751. And he runs the gamut of almost every kind of paranormal experience one can have with any kind of paranormal entity, but a lot about shapeshifters. So I was looking at those kind of old manuscripts. And then it's easy to do a research, do a search through newspapers and journals and things like that to look for, you know, more recent reportings or sightings. And once I found some of these areas, particularly, I did a lot of traveling. I for shapeshifters, I was in, oh my gosh, I was in France, Italy, Portugal, Belarus, Ukraine,
Jeez.
Romania, and some countries in Asia, Cambodia, Indonesia, Thailand. So I did a lot of traveling for it to try to go to locations where there were stories or legends about shapeshifters, and to see what was actually there on the ground. Was there any, you know, physical evidence, if you will, or whatever? So I did a lot of research for it. I guess that's the short of it.
And do you find, John, that nowadays more and more people are becoming somewhat, and my definition of a shapeshifter is not a physical change, but a mental change. Are we having more and more of those cases?
I don't know. I don't know if I can say we have more and more. I think we've always had it. I just don't know if it was identifiable. I think maybe it's becoming more identifiable because people are becoming more interested. It's sort of a, you know, which comes first. But I think that's what you're sort of saying, is that I think our knowledge of not just shapeshifters, but of paranormal events, paranormal entities in general, is becoming much more widespread, and I think more people are interested in it. So I think we're now maybe able to identify things more clearly and say, oh, that sounds like a shapeshifter episode, or that sounds like that could have been a werewolf sighting, or something along those lines.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
What about Dracula? You mentioned him a little bit. We've mentioned werewolves. Would you call Dracula a pure shapeshifter?
Well, it depends on which Dracula we're talking about. If we're talking about the fictional Dracula, you know,
or Bram TV Stoker, or the movies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would say yeah, although he seems to, in most of the movies, he seems to restrict himself to the form of a bat, which Bram Stoker does mention. You know, he does have that transformation of Count Dracula into a bat in his novel, Dracula. But, you know, the real-life Dracula, or who we think may be sort of who Dracula was modeled on, was Vlad the Impaler, you know, a prince in Wallachia in the 16th century in Romania, Transylvania, actually, particularly. And, you know, he was not a shapeshifter. He was a pretty ruthless prince that, you know, executed thousands of people. But I have to say, probably not more ruthless or bloodthirsty than most medieval princes of his time. You know, that's how they got things done.
And, John, what do you mean by biblical shapeshifters?
Well, it's interesting. I came across a guy named Roloff Vandenbroek, who is a professor of history, the history of Christianity, at Utrecht University in the Netherlands. And he was interpreting a Coptic text that's held in the Morgan Library. And as he was translating this thing and looking at it, he came across a passage that indicates to him that Jesus may have been a shapeshifter. And let me, I have the book in front of me. Let me just read a quick line here. And this is his translation. He said, "Then the Jews said to Judas, 'How shall we arrest him?'" And him meaning Jesus. "For he does not have a single shape, but his appearance changes. Sometimes he is ruddy, sometimes he is white, sometimes he is red, sometimes he is wheat-colored, sometimes he is pallid like ascetics, sometimes he is a youth, sometimes an old man." So that's an incredible passage. Now, of course, that's not in the Bible. That's in a Coptic text that refers to Jesus. But there are other examples in the Bible. The book of Daniel, the king Nebuchadnezzar is basically cursed by God and is turned into some kind of a beast. We don't know what, but they say that he ate the grasses and he had claws and he had like fur. It sounds almost like a werewolf. And there's other issues. There's other examples too. You can look at the transfiguration of Jesus, where he goes up to a mountain. He has his disciples at the bottom. He goes up as a person, as a man, And something happens to him, some remarkable transformation where he becomes this celestial light being, right? He glows, there's radiance, and the disciples are beside themselves. They don't understand what it is. And he comes back down from the mountain, and he's normal again. And the Buddha, too, by the way, went through transfigurations at least twice in his life, the same kind of thing. So I talk about that as being biblical, because, well, it occurs in the Bible. And I had a review. This is interesting, George. I had a review from a Catholic journal that reviewed Shapeshifters, of all things. I don't know how they got that or why they decided to review it. They gave it a pretty decent review until they got to the part about where I said Jesus could have been a shapeshifter. And they raked me over the coals.
Well, they went nuts on that one, right?
They raked me over the coals. But I have to say, I mean, my reply, I couldn't actually reply to it, but my reply here is, you know, if you are a Christian and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and is God and is capable of doing all things, he can walk on water, he can raise the dead, he can heal the blind and the lame, et cetera, how difficult is it for him to change his appearance? That would seem like a parlor trick.
And shape-shifting doesn't necessarily mean evil or bad, does it?
No, not at all. And that's the thing. Shapeshifters have a connotation because of
Superman was a shapeshifter.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Exactly. He was. And actually, that's interesting. There's a lot of sort of, you know, Marvel comic heroes. And
Batman.
Comic heroes. Yeah, right. Almost any of the superheroes have some kind of an incognito disguise, right, as a human. And yet they have these miraculous powers. Look at the Hulk. I mean, this poor guy is just a, you know, a normal being and all of a sudden turns into this, you know, gigantic green monster machine, you know.
Well, you mentioned Ted Bundy, but what about people at work, at your office, who, you know, come across as hardworking, deliberate and stuff, and then at night they, you know, jump on their suits and throw them off and go out and have a great party?
Well, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, is that evil? Yeah, I mean, they're having a good time. So.
And they're shape-shifting.
And they're shape-shifting. Well, and I think this is the key to shape-shifting, is that I think when I use the term shape-shifter, I do use it very broadly. I do certainly talk about the classical shape-shifters that we've sort of talking about.
Right, you've even talked about alien shape-shifters.
Exactly.
We'll get into that.
Exactly. The David Icke kind of things, the reptilian alien shape-shifters. But I also think that the whole idea of the shapeshifter, I think the whole reason why the character of the shapeshifter is so appealing to us is because I think all of us sometime in our life say, you know, we say, boy, I wish I was stronger. I wish I was better looking. I wish I was smarter. I wish I was, you know, fill in the blank. We all sort of have that, right? I mean, all of us have some little insecurity in our lives, maybe not all the time, but once in a while. And so I think the shapeshifter offers us kind of that...
a way out.
Yeah, vicariously, right? I mean, you say, wow, you know, I can be Superman, you know?
We shapeshift on Halloween?
I was just going to say, it's part of Halloween. That's what Halloween is about in a lot of ways, right? I mean, how do you decide on the costume you're going to wear? There's some psychological process going on in your head that says, I want to be Superman.
And I have seen people become that costume.
Mm-hmm.
When they shapeshift, I mean, their personality changes. They're having a good time, but I mean, they're into it. It's like an acting role.
Yeah.
But they do shapeshift like that.
Well, for part of my research, I went to some of these cosplay conventions. You know, and cosplay, for your audience, they probably do know, but it's short for costume play, literally meaning that you dress up as a character, and you don't just dress up like you say, George. You get into that role. So if the character that you're impersonating speaks with a Scottish accent, well, you speak with a Scottish accent. If that character eats nothing but Cheerios every morning, you eat Cheerios every morning. I mean, you get into the role just like actors. And I think actors are shapeshifters too in some way because they do get into that role.
Yeah. No, there's the good actors are.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
What got you interested in this?
In shapeshifters particularly?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you've been a ghost hunter for years.
Yeah, right. And I'm still, you know, I'm still doing the paranormal stuff with the ghosts and everything, too. But I think what happened is that I do a lot of public appearances. I do a lot of programs like yours. And so people hear me. And as I was speaking about ghosts and speaking to my audiences, frequently people would relate their ghost stories to me. And sometimes the stories that they would talk about didn't sound like a ghost. Like, well, I'm not sure. You know, they would say, well, I saw this figure. I saw a misty figure, and then suddenly it was gone, and there was something else in its place, or I saw it sort of metamorphose into something. And so I think, well, I'm hearing a lot about what sounds like shapeshifters. So I just started doing some research on their prevalence, on cultures that have shapeshifter characters and everything, and the world just opened up in terms of shapeshifters. I mean, it was amazing. I don't know how many. I probably have a couple of different hundreds, different kinds of shapeshifters mentioned in the book. You know, and really a lot of them just mentioned because there are so many. Every culture in the world seems to have some shapeshifter character in it.
Absolutely, and sometimes they're tied to religions, sometimes they're not.
Right. Exactly.
Have you ever met a human shapeshifter?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I don't know that I've met one personally, but I know that I've spoken to some or people that have said they have shapeshifted.
And alcohol will shapeshift you.
It will. Yeah, probably not in a good way.
I've seen that happen a lot.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that will do that. I just got finished. This is a little bit off the idea of shape. Well, not off shapeshifting, but an explanation, perhaps, of what happens. I just got finished reading a novel in which the character developed rabies. And, you know, rabies is an incredibly awful disease to have. If symptoms appear before you can get treatment,
you're in bad shape.
Die.
You're in bad shape. You start foaming and everything else.
Yeah, and so when you read somebody's accounts, there's something actually called furious rabies. Furious. And what happens is, you know, as you can imagine, people that unfortunately suffer from that, they're hyperactive, they hypersalivate, they have agitation, sometimes, you know, sort of back and forth between being agitated and having some lucidity. But they have delirium, they have abnormal behavior, frequently violent. Hallucinations, confusion. I think that a lot of what we talked about in the past, you know, a couple hundred years ago, as being shapeshifters or being werewolves particularly, could have been people that were infected with rabies. I think that was, you know, there certainly was no treatment a couple hundred years ago for rabies. If you got it, you got it. And people didn't understand the nature of that disease. And so was that a shapeshifter? You know, I don't know. I mean, it certainly would seem to be, to the average person, you would say, this guy is just transformed into a raving beast, a werewolf.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.